Well, good morning, everyone. We'll go ahead and get started. Probably have our traditional late arrivals, and it's really empty here in the middle. Any chance for people? I won't bother you today. Well, I'll give you a break. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer, and we'll get started with our lesson today. Father God, we do come before you humbly this morning. Just desiring that your Holy Spirit would be working to open our hearts and our minds to this teaching from your word. We pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a real conviction in our hearts to not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So, Father, we just want to commend this time to you and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're continuing this week with this parable, the parable of the talents. Again, we're in the Olivet discourse. The apostles have come to Jesus after they've left Israel. This is the last week of his life. And as they're sitting on the Mount of Olives, they have come to him and said, Lord, tell us what it's going to be like in the end. What are going to be the signs of the coming judgment? What are going to be, when is it that you will return and establish your kingdom? And he gives them a list of things that are going to occur, some signs that are going to occur, and then he comes up and he says, but you won't know when it's going to happen. He says, the only person who knows exactly when it's going to occur is the Father. And then he says, but you need to be prepared. You need to be alert. You need to be ready for whenever it happens. And you need to watch for the signs. And you need to be diligent in being awake. And then he comes along and he says, gives a couple of parables. And the first parable is the parable of the 10 virgins. And we see this analogy set up where he says, you know, there are 10 virgins, and five are diligent, they're prepared, they brought extra oil, and then there were five that were not. And what happens to them? You remember what happens?
They're locked out.
Yeah. The ones that were not prepared, when the bridegroom finally arrives, they're off trying to find more oil for their lamps, and they're locked out. They're left out. And they're not prepared because they were not prepared. They were not ready for the coming of the bridegroom. And then we moved into the parable of the 10 talents. So real quick, I'm going to read through this one more time, and then we'll get into the details of it. Starting in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, we read, for it is just like a man going on a journey. He called his own slaves and turned over his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. Then he went on a journey. Immediately, the man who had received 5 talents went, put them to work, and earned 5 more. In the same way, the man with 2 earned 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents approached, presented 5 more talents, and said, Master, you gave me 5 talents. Look, I earned 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. Then the man with 2 talents also approached. He said, Master, you gave me 2 talents. Look, I've earned 2 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. Then the man who had received 1 talent also approached and said, Master, I know you. You are a difficult man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the ground. Look, you have what is yours. But the master replied to him, you evil, lazy slave. You knew that I reaped where I haven't sown and gathered where I haven't scattered. Then you should have deposited my money with the bankers. And and when I returned, I would have received my money back with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have more than enough. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw this good-for-nothing slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we went through last week. We identified all the elements. Can somebody remind us, what are some of the elements that we identified in this parable? What's the first element?
The master.
The master, the man going on a journey. What's the next one?
His own slaves.
The slaves, okay. What else?
The talents.
Hmm?
The talents.
The talents. We heard about these talents, right? And the talents were given out. And the talents represent what? Do you remember? I mean, what are talents?
Weights and possessions.
Okay. Weights, they're part of his possessions. The talent was usually a measure of weight, so we don't know whether it was gold, silver, copper, what it was, but it was part of the man's possessions that he allotted out to each of the servants, right? Okay? And then what happens?
He's gone for a long time.
He's gone for a long time. Goes on his journey. What do the servants do?
The first two go and exchange and double that money.
All right. Verse 2, take their holdings, what has been given to them, they go out, they invest it, they work with it, they double the earnings, right? They get back whatever amounts to doubling what they get. What happens to the third guy? What does he do?
When he hit it, put it, buried it in the ground.
Right, buried in the ground. Okay. Not an unusual practice, by the way. The Jewish, they didn't have the banks, and even the Pharisees said one of the best ways to guard your money is to dig a hole and put it in the ground. But we'll talk about what that means later on. Okay, then what happens?
He comes back.
He comes back. The master comes back to do what?
Settle accounts.
Settle accounts. Okay, bookkeeping time. All right. First two guys, they present. How'd they do? What's the master's response to them?
They did good. And faithful.
Yeah, did good. Identical response to the first two guys, right? So, you did good. Good job. You're a good and faithful servant. You did well with a little. I'm going to give you a lot. Enter into your master's joy. All right? And the third guy, what'd he do?
Tried to justify himself by slandering his master.
Yeah. He comes back and he starts making excuses. He says, I knew you were a hard guy and I was scared. Therefore, I didn't want to risk not getting back something, not earning something, so I just hid it. I put it in the ground. Here's what you gave me. Right? And the master's response?
Calls him on it.
Yeah. You wicked and lazy servant. Wow. That's tough. That's harsh words, man. You know, if you really thought I was that way, why didn't you at least go to the banker? I mean, the money changers. And at least I would have gotten interest on my money, right? But you didn't even do that. So to me, you're what? Worthless. Okay? Take away what he's got, that one talent, give it to the guy who had 10. He handled things really well. And take this guy and toss him. He's of new use to me. Okay? So that was our layout of here's what it looks like if you were looking at the culture of that day and what was happening and how things worked, right? This is the story that we get, the real life story. And now what we want to do is we want to go and find, okay, let's find out what the spiritual side of this, because we know that a parable is what?
Spiritual truth laid alongside a story.
Yeah. Spiritual truth laid alongside a real life type story, okay? So let's start off at the beginning. We have a man going on a journey. Who is our man?